Lesson number 5 will deal with what is the nature of Christian faith and how it should be expressed in our lives. It is entitled, The Meaning of Biblical Faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once St. Paul prayed for Christians, may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. How does this prayer come to realization in the life of a Christian? To find an answer, we must first try to understand the meaning of faith. In the book of Hebrews, we find a psychological definition of faith. It describes the effects of faith in a person. Faith is confident assurance concerning what we hope for and conviction about things we do not see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith gives assurance and conviction about matters beyond empirical experience, things that are the material for the hope residing within us. And an empirical experience would mean our sense experiences. This brings us to a more familiar definition of faith, one formulated by St. Thomas of Aquinas in the Middle Ages. Faith is the act of the intellect when it assents to divine truth under the influence of the will, moved by God through grace. This definition emphasizes the role of human intellect in the act of faith. The essential objects of such a faith for Christians would be the triune God and those things revealed by God. Such faith tells us who and what we have faith in. We are told that faith gives us the power to accept as true what God reveals without fully understanding these revealed truths. This concept of faith became the foundation for the definition of faith given at the First Vatican Council. We read, faith is a supernatural virtue by which, guided and aided by divine grace, we hold as true what God has revealed, not because we have perceived it, its intrinsic truth by reason, but because of the authority of God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Again, we see this definition emphasizes the intellectual aspect of faith. If we can give mental consent to the articles of the Christian creed, do not deny any of them, we would be said to possess the virtue of faith. One concept implied but not emphasized in this written notes is that the power to believe, to have faith, is a gift from God. God gives the power to believe in Him and to accept His revelations. Faith is a power to believe, but not a compulsion. The gift always leaves the person free to express the power or reject the power. One can choose to believe, one can choose to disbelieve, but as one uses the power, it grows. As one abuses the power, refuses to exercise it, it certainly grows, therefore, weaker. The First Vatican Council speaks of faith primarily as a spiritual gift that affects the intellect. This is not exactly the faith that Paul prays for. He speaks of the power of faith as dwelling within the heart of the believer. This does not exclude intellectual assent, but implies much more. The expression in your heart conveys more the idea of in your person. It implies faith touches one's entire personality. Thomas Aquinas suggests that the grace of faith first begins in the human will, before flowering forth in the intellect. God's grace, operative in the human will, moves the intellect to believe. The will is at the very heart of a person. St. Thomas's definition seems to imply that grace of faith first moves the soul to love that to which it later gives assent. It preserves the concept of faith being more a total response within a person. This brings us closer to the concept of faith as manifested in the Bible. Biblical faith centers not so much on what is believed, but rather in whom we believe. A person through faith experiences God to be secure and firm, to be a reliable and faithful person. God keeps his word. We find this out from reality. God is reliable. He can be trusted. By believing, one acknowledges the fidelity of God. The Old Testament often spoke of God as rock. Biblical faith primarily expresses itself by trusting God. To trust God declares the fidelity of God. Israel came to this knowledge of God through the saving power of God's presence in its history. The certainty that God can be trusted produces evident effects in the lives of people. Into the soul comes a reliance, a trust, a confidence in God. Because God is faithful, a person becomes secure in God's fidelity. Faith moves the soul to abandon itself to God. It listens to its words. It hearkens to his voice. It strives to obey his will. Faith calls the soul to a total response to God. If the soul responds, faith causes the soul itself to become faithful. The soul begins to reflect, in some degree, the divine gift of fidelity. The response of man's fidelity to God's fidelity creates a spiritual environment in which the human soul lives and grows to spiritual maturity. Faith ultimately maturing the soul in love. The scriptures tell us, the righteous man shall live by faith. It would be a more accurate translation to say, by his fidelity he lives. Biblical faith finds beautiful expression in the 46th Psalm. There we read, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Therefore we fear not, though the earth be shaken and the mountains plunge into the depths of the sea, though its waters rage in foam and the mountains quake at its surging. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. The life of Abraham depicts for us one of the greatest examples of faith in the Old Testament. At a call from God, Abram leaves the security of his family, his land, all the known and the familiar. He goes forth as an alien into a foreign land, his sole trust being in the God who calls from the familiar, leads into the unknown, and says, "Fear not, I am your shield." God made Abraham a promise. Abraham was childless, and God promised to make him the father of nations. This promise became the source of Abraham's hope. However, the promise never became the source and the object of Abraham's faith. Before the promise, he had faith. When the promise remained unfulfilled, he still had faith. The promise served to test and strengthen his faith. Through his long years of life, he discovered that God's ways are not man's ways. As the years passed, the promise remained but a promise. He watched himself and Sarah grow old. There was a time he hoped God would grant them a child while it was still physically possible to do so. That hope faded with the passing of the years. They were withering on the vine. Yet faith remained. Hope, he hoped, now against hope. When there remained no natural foundation for hope, God revealed Sarah would bring forth a son. With the birth of Isaac, Abraham held the cause of his hope in his arms. Yet, the test of hope was not ended, the test of faith. Faith must lead to love. God commanded Abraham to sacrifice the life of Isaac on Mount Moriah. The promise fades to the background, and faith in God moves to the forefront. Abraham once again, hope against hope. At this point in Abram's life, a new dimension is present. He loved Isaac more than he loved life itself. Something greater than faith empowered Abraham to climb Moriah with Isaac. The love of God empowered him to climb that most difficult of all mountains. Abraham loved God above all things, more than Isaac. Oh, Moriah, it was not Abraham's faith God lauded. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your beloved son. You obeyed my command. Genesis chapter 22, verse 12 and 18. There are in three things at last, writes Paul, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Jesus once said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me." The Christian faith is born when a person comes to the same trust in Jesus that Abraham had in the Father. The scriptures proclaim Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is presented as the door to God. No one comes to the Father but through me. John chapter 14, verse 5. The person comes to faith in Jesus who totally commits himself to the way taught by Jesus, who knows it to be the supreme truth, who experiences within his soul and her soul the saving effects of his life, the forgiveness of sins and the renewness of life. Faith in Jesus leaves behind the security found in one's good works. Self-confidence and self-righteousness die. Complete confidence is placed in the merits of Jesus' death to bring one to a life of grace and ultimately into the full effects of the redemption. Faith involves traveling in the dark. In a sense, faith is always blind. It involves trusting in the light, the love, and the vision of another. When we live by faith, it is like we are in a valley filled with dangerous ravines and treacherous rivers, and we desire to leave the valley and reach the safety of the mountaintop. In order to reach that mountain, we must close our eyes, put our hand into that of another, and permit the other to lead us. If we truly lack faith in that person, we will be filled with anxiety and fear. We will move slowly along with our guide, feeling our way, holding back, freezing up, and refusing to move at times. We would have to open our eyes and take a peek to reassure ourselves. This is the representative picture of faith possessed by many. It stimulates from Jesus, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" Such faith impedes miracles. The disciples approached Jesus and asked him privately, "Why could we not expel it?" "Because you have so little trust," he told them. "I assure you, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible for you." The secret of sanctity of a little French girl, Teresa Martin, who died a saint at 24 years of age, was faith. She traveled fast over the road of sanctity in a short while because she put her hand in the hand of God and he led her. She never became anxious. She never took a peek. But with the docility of a little child, she followed the Father's lead. She did confess that in the last 3 years of her life, she had made more acts of faith than in her entire previous years of life. Through faith, how quickly she arrived safely at home. This concludes lesson 5. God bless you.